Call the House Committee on Health Care to order, and we'll try and work through some things. The quorum's going to be wandering in and out, so we'll try and keep six people here as long as we can. And let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 154. Would you like to tell us what that's about, Madam Administrator?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 154, you recall, had a public hearing the early part of May, May 6th. This is the bill that is repealing the current senior prescription drug assistance program that was established in the Department of Human Services. This was something that was implemented several sessions ago and never really got ramped up, and the department and other folks are asking to have this program eliminated, and that's what this bill does. There was no revenue impact, and there was a fiscal statement that I believe you received at the public hearing that was on the original bill. There are no amendments.
And it was basically superseded by the Oregon Prescription Drug Program, so
that
turns out to be superfluous.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 154? Are there any objections to it? Yes, sir.
I think it's my understanding that there's no one in this.
There is no. There was maybe one left.
I think everybody else has moved over to OPD. I think the one person is not there anymore either.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, it's basically an empty vessel.
It's an ideal state program to close down. No one gets hurt.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I would move Senate Bill 154 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Did you call the roll, please?
Representative Brewer?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative
Dembro? Excused.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper?
Aye.
Representative Pennemer?
Excused.
Representative Kozak?
Excused.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Yes.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Consent calendar?
Consent calendar, indeed. Any objection? Goes to the consent calendar. Close the work session on Senate Bill 154. Open a work session on Senate Bill 173. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 173 increases the number of members to the Board of Psychologist Examiners from 7 to 9 members. This had a public hearing on May 11th. There's no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact statement. There was no opposition to this bill that we heard during public testimony. The bill also expands the membership ability of a board member to include a psychologist that's got his master's degree in lieu of the PhD, and it also increases the public membership from 2 to 3 public members on their board.
Can I have a motion on Senate Bill 173?
Mr.
Chair?
Go ahead.
I move Senate Bill 173 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? I don't remember any opposition or any problems with it. Okay. I have a motion on the floor to move Senate Bill 173 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Representative Dembro?
Excused.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Representative Pennemer?
Excused.
Representative
Kotek? Excused.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 173 goes to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Could we send it to the consent calendar?
Actually, I would have. There were 3 no votes on the Senate side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there were?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, therefore, would prefer it not.
Then let's let Representative Kennemer carry it. I have a motion to
Mr. Chair, before
allow him to vote on it.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Chair, suspend the rules to permit Representative Kinnamer to vote on Senate Bill 173.
Which he's going to be carrying on the floor.
So I guess I need to vote yes.
Any objections? your vote.
Aye. Thank you.
Okay. The motion passes, and Representative Kinnamer will carry Senate Bill 173, which increases the number of State Board of Psychology examiners to the floor with a due pass recommendation from us. Close the work session on Senate Bill 173. Open a work session on Senate Bill 132. Madam Administrator, what have we got here?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, we had a public hearing on Senate Bill 132 on May the 4th. This increases the civil penalty from $1,000 to $5,000 for disciplinary acts related to actions committed by naturopathic physicians. It also does some housekeeping modifications relating to the board's ability to draft rules, authority in rulemaking. Again, this left the House Health Care and Veterans Affairs Committee the Senate, and the Senate floor with 28 ayes with 2 excused. There's no revenue or fiscal impact statement, and we did not receive any testimony in opposition to this bill, Mr. Chair.
Can I have a motion on Senate Bill 132, please?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 132 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Maurer moves Senate Bill 132 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Devereaux?
Excused.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper?
Aye.
Representative Kinnamer?
Aye.
Representative Kotek?
Excused.
Vice Chair Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Chair Greenwood?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 132 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Maurer?
No, I prefer not to have it go to the consent calendar
because
there's going to be an explanation required about the increase from 1,000 to 5,000. I have no problem doing that either.
Okay. You mean carrying it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got it. Representative Maurer will carry it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 132. Open a work session on Senate Bill 9. We have an amendment to Senate Bill 9, and we don't yet have a fiscal on it. So if we decide to add the Dash 1 amendments, we may need to carry it over, although we'll stand at ease and try and see what happens with the fiscal. And we've invited Sue Ring to testify on the Dash 1 amendments. So if you would join us, please, and talk to us about it.
My name is Sue Ring. I'm a dietitian, pediatric dietitian with Providence Home Services. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to talk to you today. My goal is to reinstate a law which requires insurance companies in Oregon to cover elemental formulas. Insurance law 743.729 required insurance companies in Oregon to pay for non-prescription elemental and enteral formulas for home use if the formula was, quote, medically necessary for the treatment of severe malabsorption and a physician has issued a written order for the formula and the formula comprises the sole source or an essential source of nutrition, end quote. This law expired in June of 2005. Elemental formulas are made from non-allergenic amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein, or from proteins that are broken down to their elemental level so that they can be easily digested and absorbed. In many cases, an elemental formula may be the only thing a child or an infant can properly digest and tolerate due to severe allergies or gastrointestinal conditions. The use of an inappropriate formula can lead to diarrhea, bloody stools, poor weight gain, persistent vomiting, severe skin rashes, failure to thrive, etc. Elemental formulas are very specialized and consequently are more expensive than a regular formula or the type of formula a parent might give a child just to boost calories. Every day, children are born with potentially life-threatening allergies and related diseases which prohibit them from consuming formulas and foods required for life-sustaining nutrition. For many, the best option is an elemental formula that provides nutrition for optimal growth and development. Unfortunately, some children are unable to benefit from the life-saving elemental formulas because they're born into a family that cannot afford the high cost of the formulas. Families over the poverty level and earning a living wage are at a chronic disadvantage in gaining access to elemental formulas. Currently, DMAP and WIC do cover these formulas. Middle-income and working-class families, however, are not receiving assistance from their private insurance companies. Consequently, their children go untreated, or the families face a disastrous financial hardship, even though they have medical insurance. Many families of medically fragile children who require elemental formulas often have significant medical expenses, so the cost of a specialized formula is a hardship. The cost of feeding a child an elemental formula can be 10% of an average family income. According to the Children's Milk Allergy and Gastrointestinal Coalition, the cost of covering elemental formulas would raise premiums only about 1.6 cents per year. It is estimated that 1 to 2% of the 2.5% of children who have a severe milk allergy will need an amino acid-based formula. About 80% of those children outgrow the need for the specialized formula by the time they're 18 to 24 months of age. In other words, a small percentage of children need elemental formulas, but their growth and well-being is severely impacted by the formula they consume. As noted, the impact to the average person paying an insurance premium, though, would be very minimal. Let me just briefly share with you the story of just two of my patients who have benefited from elemental formulas. The first is a little boy who shortly after birth began passing blood in his stool. Despite changing from breast milk to a couple of different formulas, he continued to pass blood. By the time he was a month old, he was anemic. At that point, he was diagnosed with dairy and soy allergy, and he was placed on an amino acid-based formula. His condition improved immediately, and within a couple of weeks, he was no longer anemic. Another one of my patients was born without his small intestinal tract intact, and part of it had necrotized or died. Within a couple of days after birth, he required surgery to remove the dead tissue and to connect the two sections of his intestinal tract. He, too, requires an amino acid-based formula due to the decreased surface for absorption of nutrients in his intestinal tract. I urge you to consider these and other patients who need specialized formulas, as you require insurance companies in Oregon to once again cover elemental formulas.
Other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Senator Maurer.
Thank you. I'm looking, you don't have a copy of this, but I'm looking at the background, which, and I'll tell you what it says.
Okay.
You don't have to guess.
Okay.
One for the Dash 1 Amendment and the original, the underlying bill. And in the underlying bill, it says, for the past 46 years, Public Health Division, in partnership with OHSU, provide early detection center. They've screened 1.7 million Oregon infants and identified 650 with metabolic disorders and need treatment. I'm assuming that's a correct number. 46 years, 650 children is not very many. But actually, it's, and then on this one, it says 10 infants with the disease are born each year in Oregon. Is that, which one is accurate?
10 with the...
10 with, I'm not sure which disease, because there are so many different metabolic diseases.
Is this with the elemental, or with the elemental enteral formula, what you're talking about.
Okay, well, the metabolic formulas.
PKU.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, the first one is about PKU.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, okay.
And the need for the non-protein diet. This is right. Is with the severe intestinal
right.
malabsorption problem.
Okay.
So there's about 10 a year in this. And
the PKU, right, would be about 10 per year, and that's a part of the metabolic. And then this is in addition to that, the patients who require elemental formulas.
And they only need elemental in this case. I think I finally figured out what elemental means. It means going back to the elements of protein, going back
uh-huh,
to the
very simple components,
to,
right.
to the amino acid components of protein. I thought maybe it had to do with iron and copper or something. now I got it. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
The uses of the elemental formula that you described that would not be covered under the unamended or the original version of the bill, would those relate to treating inborn errors of metabolism? Is that, are we talking still about this broad class of?
The Senate Bill 9, yes, is for inborn errors of metabolism. And what I would like to have you also consider is an amendment to have the elemental formulas covered as well for children who have problems with intestinal malabsorption.
Okay. You're talking about treating conditions that are not errors of metabolism. I think this is...
That are not errors of inborn
metabolism. Right, it's two different conditions.
Exactly.
Absorption versus...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both pretty rare, and they both require special foods.
They do.
This This was in law before,
it
and
was.
The sunset ran out, and the sunset was never put back?
That's correct.
And do you have an idea of how many kids were covered under it when it was?
At that time, I'm not sure how many were at that time.
And the insurance companies then stopped covering it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Did they all stop covering it, or did some cover it?
There are very few anymore that still cover it.
Was there discussion around the time of its sunsetting? Sorry.
Not that I was aware of.
Is there anyone else here to speak in opposition or support?
I mean, there's some discussion here of the extent to which it fits in the relating clause, isn't it?
Because the amendment changes the relating clause, which is unamendable.
Well, it's amendable after the first semicolon. Does it actually change that?
No, it doesn't.
It's after the first semicolon.
Yeah, it's amendable after the first semicolon.
You didn't know that, or did you just make
it? I'm not going to tell you.
House rules.
Which house?
I know that because I've done it.
Oh.
Yeah, up to the first semicolon is the...
It's the real hard...
Yeah.
It's a great rule.
Yeah. Well...
Do we need clarification from the legislative council?
Well, No, it is amendable after the first semicolon. The question is, are there any other questions of the witness?
I do have copies of my information for everybody.
Thank you. If you please share it.
Yes.
Thank you. We're somewhat stymied because we don't have... If the desire is to add the -1 amendments, as Representative Edwards would like us to do, we don't have the fiscal on the -1 amendments, which I expect will be basically the same, not much fiscal. Why don't we stand at ease right now, and why don't you would wander down to LFO and see whether we can get a...
Mr. Chair,
yes,
actually,
sir.
There is a concern about the relating clause.
Oh, right. What is the relating clause on? I was looking for it on
because the relating clause is about treatment of inborn errors of metabolism. Is the dash one about inborn errors of metabolism?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not, is it?
This the amendment is not about inborn errors of metabolism.
Could we ask an LC to join us?
Yes.
Well, why don't we do this? Since we don't have a fiscal anyway,
right.
Let's hold it over until Wednesday. We'll check with both LC and fiscal, and we'll find out. I tried to find out whether there was any opposition to it. The OHSU lobbyists said that the insurance companies weren't crazy about it, but we haven't gotten to the insurance companies specifically. We'll try and find out whether they have significant objection. My guess is they won't object to it because it's trivial, but they won't like it because it's a mandate. Although they were happy to declare the original is not a mandate, or even if it was, they were in favor of it.
Why said that? Huh? I made that.
That was there? No, that was... Regent said it was not a mandate, and Providence said he didn't give a damn if it was a mandate. He favored it.
Okay. Now, another question, then, is about the 1.6 cents per year. Is that 1.6 cents per person, per policy?
Per policy is my understanding. That statistic, yes.
Can we stand at ease for a moment, please, again? And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 9. And unless there's anything else that gets in, well.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Chair.
Do we have somebody that can shed light on it now? Is that over?
And I have a motion to allow Representative Dembro to vote. On a bill that has
Okay, I need to, then I read, I need to reopen, no, no, I don't need to reopen a work session, do I?
Mr. Chair, I move that we suspend the rules in order to allow Representative Dembro to vote on Senate Bill, would have been 132?
Right.
And 154.
And 154.
And it won't change the outcome, obviously. Okay, any objection? None. Will you vote on those, please?
Aye. Aye.
Is there any others that have been missed that would like to? Okay. Let's reopen a work session on Senate Bill 9, and let's ask Kathleen Huntington to join us.
Just to back up, I think that the statement that was just read from LC is true. All right? It's accurate.
Well,
but
that's a
this also fits in.
Well, then
this is not excluded by.
Okay.
It's not included, but it's not definitely excluded either. Okay? This is a partial.
This is from our PhD physiologist here today to help us. Good, we appreciate that.
Any of you guys? Lawyers get all that.
Yeah, lawyers are bad up when you get physiologists arguing.
We knew it wasn't included, we didn't know.
Please go ahead. Can you help us on this? Our question is, if we have a bill about inborn errors of metabolism, would including insurance coverage for elemental formulas fit into that definition?
Not exactly.
Okay. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Kathleen Huntington. I am the metabolic dietitian for the metabolic clinic at CDRC/OHSU, Portland, Oregon.
Okay. And not exactly means?
Well, they are used for different disease entities. Some of the medical foods are comprised of the same type of elemental solutions, but not all. And they're lifelong, and they're it's not so much important what they're made out of or how they're made, it's more the purpose, I think, the difference.
Can you hold on just a minute so we can ask an intelligent question, or at least a semi-intelligent question, is the best we do around here at 3 o'clock.
There's a difference between the legal question and the medical question.
I want to get the
way. Can I see it?
Go ahead.
The enteral formulas apply to multiple entities.
Yes.
The relating to clause is one of those entities, and I think we're bound by the relating to clause. What LC said is true, all right? But it was narrowed down in the relating clause. And if what you say is true, that we cannot modify the relating to clause prior to the first semicolon, then I think the definition, then we can't put in the amendment.
Well,
but of course, I'm new here and I haven't encountered this situation
yet. The amendment very
is that accurate scientifically?
Well, I think what I've heard, and let's see if I can try it, but I think it still may. You could use non-prescription elemental enteral formula for certain metabolic inborn errors. Is that right?
No. No. The types, the formulas are different in terms of how they're formulated. The metabolic formulas for protein disorders in terms of inborn errors and metabolism are deficient in the specific amino acid or protein type that causes the problem.
But inborn errors of metabolism cover a broader range of things than the protein.
Oh yeah, and those products might not necessarily be what you would call elemental.
Right.
But the important thing.
Would they be what you would call elemental?
Some of them, yeah.
So I mean, it is possible that elemental.
But those are complete formulas as opposed to incomplete. See, they're It all depends on the disease. Like PKU, it's the easiest one. It's deficient in phenylalanine. And if someone were to use that without medical supervision, there would be serious consequences.
Well, but we're only talking about things that are that have a written order for the formula by physicians.
That's true, and the elemental formulas can be prescribed for those particular malabsorption problems, but they are slightly different in their purpose. You could use an elemental formula and not suffer any serious consequences. You could be, you could have a normal gut function and use that product, and it would be perfectly fine. But if you used a PKU formula, you would not.
No, I understand the clinical differences. The question we're dealing with is, well, let me ask the question a different way, and maybe we need a physician to answer it. And that's the question, is severe intestinal malabsorption an inborn error of metabolism?
Not necessarily, no.
No, not necessarily, but
no.
Is it? Oh,
no.
Okay, that's...
I mean, you could think there, you know, there could be.
There are four doctors sitting here. None of us are real doctors, is it? Who's
there?
Who's back?
Kat.
Oh, Kat, yeah. Could you help us on this one? Do you know anything about this? Dr. Livingston, you want to join us here?
So. I'm Kat Livingston. I'm a family physician. This is not my area of expertise. But as I recall learning about these inborn errors of metabolism are a discrete set of conditions that are separate from malabsorption. Because malabsorption, the inborn errors of metabolism involve very clear, like PKU, I mean very clear defects and specific processes versus malabsorption can be anywhere from, you know, problems with simply absorbing something like lactose to major types of malabsorption. And so I think we're talking about two different areas. But I'm not an expert on this.
Five doctors and we can't come to Go ahead. You have a... We're in a work session. Talk to us.
To me, it's clear. I think, I mean, the law is the problem, right?
The law is a
problem. We're trying to figure out a way around what that relating clause says, and I don't think I see it. Science-wise, I don't see it.
Okay.
And I called and had one. If Lori gets done with her conference call, to pop in.
Well, she just said she was told that, and the question
right.
is...
Right. And we have medical opinion versus the legal direction of a lawyer, which we have to...
Mr. Chair, should we give counsel...
I'm gonna reopen that.
Should we give counsel a couple days to consult with medical opinion to
yeah,
see if she was given an incorrect factual statement?
Yeah, I think we need to do that. I am going to close this hearing.
This?
I am going to carry this over until Wednesday.
Hold on before you gavel out of the committee.
Yes.
I have another motion. There was a bill. Another
one?
Bill. No, no.
Okay. I close the work session on Senate Bill 9, and we'll carry it over until the first order of business on Wednesday. And we'll try and find out if it does fit into the relating to clause, and if it does, then whether there's a fiscal that goes with it. If it does not fit into that clause, then we will pass Senate Bill 9 without an amendment, and we do have the information we need to do that. Now, Representative Cannon.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I'd like to suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Denbrough to vote on Senate Bill 173, the third that he missed.
Is there any objection to suspending the orders to allow him to vote? Think carefully.
What would happen if one were to object?
Well, he would show when he is late. He goes off to testify in another.
Yeah, we want to hear
from you. Should we have some discussion on this
for
first?
The record,
two-way street.
I could just say that there would be repercussions.
I hear no objection after that. How do you vote?
I vote aye.
Representative Denver votes aye. Anything else to come before us before our last day, just to give you a little word on where we're going, we have Wednesday and Friday of this week. We have agendas out for that. We got another bill today. We might get another two tomorrow. I did check on that, one or two we might get. We're pretty well in order. We'll have hearings and work sessions on Wednesday and Friday. not on Monday because of Memorial Day, and we'll finish on Wednesday. Is the last day we can take Senate bill. In fact, it's the last day we can do work for this session. We'll move into our interim work in probably in June. We might have to work. We have permission to go late on Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, if we need to. So I'd really appreciate it if you'd hold your calendar. I don't think we're going to need to. And for your scheduling, we will not have a meeting the following Friday. We'll get back to you and see when we'll start meeting with our interim agenda. And it's going to be particularly important to begin work on our interim agenda because of the budget issues that is going to restrict the amount of per diem we'll be able to have available for interim meetings when we're out of the building. So we really will want to try and do a fair amount of work in June if we can. Maybe, let's say, on Monday and Wednesday in June, not on Friday. So it'll make that easier.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Because we have families here on Senate Bill 9, do you want to make a statement to them?
That bill is going to pass on Wednesday, so there are no votes here. We will pass Senate Bill 9 with or without the Dash 1 amendments, and it will go to the House floor with a do-pass recommendation. Does that satisfy the families? Thank you very much for saying that. This is all technicality, and it will be taken care of on Wednesday. Okay, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah.